Praise the Lord, family, and welcome back to another Gift of Life show. Hey, this is Mama T, and this is my fifth episode on the righteousness of God. And what I've been attempting to do by the power of the Holy Spirit is to give you a contrast between human achievement and God's divine accomplishment. You know, there's so many religions out there, and the way I'm seeing it and interpreting it according to the scriptures, that really, seriously, this is a bold statement, but every religion is wrong if they don't accept Jesus Christ as the only way to God. And those other religions, I just had someone today text me today and ask me, why is there so many religions? And I just said, because of Satan and sin, and the scripture says that people like their darkness. They like being their own God. Like I told this person, I was once my own God. I was my own religion. I did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, and how I wanted to do it. So in that sense, I was my own God until I met the true living God. Hallelujah. And believe me, his ways are a lot better than my ways. And this is what I propagate now. I'm a crusader now to proclaim his son, Jesus Christ, as our substitutionary atonement, who is the only way to the true and living God. And so there is two ways. The Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 7, there are two ways. But one way leads to hell and the other way leads to heaven. Let me just read this right here in Matthew chapter 7. It says right here, two ways of life, okay? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So there are two ways to life. But the life that leads to darkness, the life that leads to destruction, is eternal separation from true living life, which is in God and in heaven and in Christ, which is total separation in outer darkness and in hell forever and ever, in pain forever and ever. So I'm just a simple-minded person. If that's the ways that there are to life, I'm going to choose the right way. I'm going to choose the good way. I'm going to choose the heavenly way, which happens to be, I didn't make it up, it's just the way it is, that Jesus Christ is the only way. He says, I am the truth and I am the light of the world. And that's in John 8 and John 14. And the only way that we can get to God is through what Jesus Christ already did for us. And this is why I'm talking about his righteousness. See, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we cannot do to be accepted or rejected from God in our efforts, other than just not believe him. And even then, he's not rejecting us. We're rejecting him, and we get the consequences from that. So my whole thing in my book, Do You See What I See? And we had our meeting last night, our second meeting for our CUBU Women's Conference. I'm excited about that. It's formulating. God is opening it up and showing us which way to go on this, and using the Word of God and spirit-minded people. I'm excited about that, how God's going to work that out, because I just see so many people, so many sincere believers that are trying to earn their way, trying to maintain their way, and to keep heaven in front of them by their works. And you know, scriptures talk about that there's nothing that we can do to gain acceptance or righteousness with God, because he has already done it. Look what it says right here in Romans 2:13. It says right here, for not the hearer of the law are just in the sight of God. I love that. In the sight of God. Not the hearer of the law that are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law that will be justified. Now, we talked about those theological terms, justified. And justified just simply means that God declared you as a born-again believer. When you received Christ as your Savior, he declared you as being justified. You are all right with God. Nothing is wrong with you. You have been set free. There is nothing held against you, and you've been made righteous. The penalty of your sins has been paid by Christ. That's what justification means. And then also, too, in Romans 3, look what it says right here. I love this in 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And another one, I just love these terms about in God's sight. That just simply means the way God sees things. Look at that. So, and right here in Galatians 3:11, it says, but that no one is justified. See, declared righteous, God declaring you righteous. No one is declared righteous by the law, any law, your law, Jewish law, black law, Hebrew law. No one is justified by keeping the law in God's sight, because you have to keep it 100% and no one can. And it says, is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Isn't that beautiful? I just love that. And Colossians, look what it says here. Everything is by faith when it comes with the Lord. And in Colossians, he tells us this. Paul tells us this in Colossians. I love this one. He tells us, don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone, he says, beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophies, human philosophies, or empty deceits, according to the tradition of men, according to the principles of this world, religion, and not according to Christ. And look what it says in 6. For those that are truly falling and want to know the truth, the narrow way. And narrow because the broad way, you can just bring anybody and everything. Everything is tolerable. Everything's acceptable. Do your own thing. But the narrow way, God says, no, there's only one way. And that one way is through the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what it says in 1 John chapter 5, 12 and 13. If anyone has Christ Jesus, then they have eternal life. But look what it says here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. How did we receive him? Those who have. By faith. Just simply believing what the Word of God says. By faith. Confessing him with our mouth. Believing him that to come into our heart. What does it say here? This is many people's salvation verse right here in Romans 10. Right here. It says right here in Romans 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. See? You're believing in righteousness, in what Christ did. And with the mouth you confess, and you make it unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whoever believes in him, talking about Jesus, will not be put to shame. Isn't that something? And there's no distinction between Jews or Gentiles, for the same Lord is over all, is rich on those who call on him. So it's all about knowing Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 9 that if you confess, oh, I love this, with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So Paul is saying in Colossians, just as you received him, so walk in him, perform in him. How? Not by trying to be right with God and trying to be justified with God, because you already are, but by faith, because you already are right with God. Your position has already changed, and that's why you're performing that way. So he says, so walk in him. How? Being rooted in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And that brings me to Proverbs 20, verse 5. And I've mentioned this before. And Proverbs 20, verse 5. And this is what we're all about. We call it waxing off and waxing on. If you've seen the old Karate Kid movie, getting rid of that old stuff and putting on the new stuff by using the new stuff. But look what it says in Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, different versions use different terms. Let me see if I can find this one real quick. Now, remember, when it talks about, I'm trying to get this to work here now, when it talks about the counsel of the heart, it's talking about in your thought life. See, everything we think and say and do begins with the thought. It really does. It's just amazing. When God speaks, his voice speaks, somehow, miraculously, it turns into thoughts and words, or turns into words, because he thinks these things. But as believers, he's given us the mind of Christ. So the Holy Spirit helps us to understand what he says. But Satan, the enemy, he speaks too. And when he speaks, John 8:44, he speaks lies. And if they're believed and received, they turn into sin. Just go back to Genesis 3 and see the beginning of it. Right there with Adam and Eve. He says in verse 10 and 3, he says, I heard your voice He says, but I was afraid, and then I hid. So there's the thought, emotions, and then the will. And then his son, Cain. Cain was dialoguing with God. God was saying, hey, why are you so angry? Why is your countenance fall? And he says, if you do right, you will be acceptable. You know what that do was? Do what God's voice said to do. Offer up God the sacrifice that God required and not what you decided to bring. But Cain had a choice to make, and he made the wrong one, and he killed his brother. The anger started inside. It came from the enemy. He chose to believe the enemy, and he acted it out, which was murder. And Jesus already said, it's not that you murder somebody that makes you a sinner. It's the way that you think that makes you a sinner. And if you're not thinking correctly with God and his word, then you are sinning. You are a sinner. But here's the neat thing. Those that believed in Jesus Christ, who forgave us of all our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness, he imputed into us his righteousness when he took our unrighteousness. And that's what my last segment was about the theology of imputation or impartation. And I love that, because the impartation, that's when the new spiritual life in a person begins. That's when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and a new life comes from God. And that begins on the inside of a believer. And that believer has to begin to walk that out. How? By faith. And that's where sanctification comes in. So it's kind of like this. In the back of my book, if you get my book, Do You See What I See? And if you haven't ordered your book, you really need to get it. You should go to lovebyexample.com and you can order it there, or you can order it directly from me and I'll mail it to you, shipping and handling free. If you just call me or text me at 503-481-0372, I have a new book called Do You See What I See? And this is the book that we're going to use in our CUBU Women's Conference. But in the back of the book, on page 141, I have a small brief list, and I titled it Big Theological Words Made Simple. And I think it's important that we hone in on these theological words and make them simple so people can understand what these words mean in relationship to God, really. And this is what I love about this Proverbs that I was reading, is that when you slow down, and when and really do some deep thinking, the scriptures say in Proverbs 25 that wisdom, this counsel or this principle or the purpose or the intentions or the thoughts of our heart in our mind are so deep. It's like they're like deep waters. I mean, scientists say that we have over 3 million years worth of storage space to store information that we'll never use up in our lifetime. Our brain is fantastically and fearfully and wonderfully made. And we have the mind of Christ. That's another miracle. Our mind is spiritual, but our brain is physical, and so is our body. But those two together, it's like deep waters. It's just like deep waters. And it says, but a man or a person with understanding who understands this, and that's what Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of our understanding would get this, would understand how fearfully and wonderfully we're made, that we're wired for love. We have the love of God shed in our heart as believers. We will draw it out. And that's what we're doing. We're all about drawing out what Christ has put in. And that's a perfect illustration of what it says in Philippians. If you go to Philippians, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 13. I know a lot of you might know that by heart. Verse 13 actually starts in 12. Let's see if I can find it real quick. In 12, right here it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Philippians, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation, or your own new position, or your own new birth, or your own new nature. Work out with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God who is working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And then 14 says, do all without complaining and disputing. So brothers and sisters, we've got to understand that when we were declared righteous, and in the back of my book here, 141, we are digging deep into these mysterious treasures that God has put in us. And we don't have a lot of time. If you read in James, our life is just like a little mist, here today and gone tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised to us. And God wants you to find your purpose and your destiny and your niche that God has created just for you to be able to experience in this lifetime. So many people are just going through the motions of 9 to 5 and going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, and there's really no purpose. They're just kind of, it's just plotless. It's clueless on why they're doing what they're doing. They're just hanging out and just going nowhere. Somebody says it's like they're aiming for this. They're aiming for the stars and missing it every time. And so you got to have a purpose of why you wake up every morning. Discovering who you really are is going to give you purpose in Christ Jesus. So first you got to realize and reckon to yourself and reason that all these other religions out there are not true religions if they're not focusing on Christ Jesus as the only way. That's it. You have to. It is a narrow way, because you can't just bring all your filth and sin and dirt and your own opinions on the road to glory. There's only one way and one way to think. And God has told us in Matthew 5, 6 and 7, the Beatitudes, the attitude that He wants us to have. Not the attitudes of traditions and philosophies and carnality and legalism and all that other stuff out there. Not what all these different so-called cult leaders and teachers and preachers that have started their own little religions. He's not talking about that. He said, let's hear what God has to say. Wouldn't you rather know what God has to say about your future and your life and what Jesus has to say, the creator of your soul? Wouldn't you want to go right to the top and find out what He says? He ought to know how we should work and how we should operate. Wouldn't you think? Well, He's given us His holy word. Yeah, and I know people say, yeah, but it's been tampered with. And you know what? Say what you want. I'm believing what God's word says. And what I don't understand, I just ask Him to help me. But what I do understand, that's what I'm pursuing. And that's what I'm digging in with this Proverbs. I'm digging deep into the wonderfulness of who I really am in Christ. Because for so many years, I really didn't know. I had glimpses. But not enough to keep me convicted, to keep me pressing forward. I have been pressing forward now pretty much, I'll say, a good maybe 5 years now. And I'm just pursuing. I'm pressing on. I'm casting down these toxic thoughts and memories. I'm waxing off and waxing on the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm putting on and keeping on the robe of righteousness of who I am in Christ. And my book, I just thank God for this book because He wrote it. You know, as this was happening through me, He was writing this. And I'm so glad it's out and we get to share this with a lot of women. My heart is for women right now. I love our men, and we're going to have men there helping us. You can pray for us, because we're looking for 12 spirit, word-minded people, women, on the team, and as well as men to help us. I thank God for our husbands. We have some husbands that are working with us right now, mine and another couple that's working with us, but we need more. But you know what? Even if we just have just us four, guess what? That's a majority over the minority when it comes to God. Isn't that beautiful? But listen to here. And justification, in the back of my book, page 141, this will help you to understand the sequence of how this is and how God has worked us to perform in His image and to become more like Christ. First of all, we have to be justified. And we have to have God declare us righteous. Okay, that happens when you put faith in His Son. Okay, now that doesn't make us right. What makes us right is His Son. But you have to first have faith that what He says about how to get to heaven and how to please Him is through His Son, Jesus Christ, is your substitutionary atonement, paying your price of your sin, okay, which was death. And then you have to, then you're declared righteous, because justification declares you righteous. And that's what I've been talking about. You're right with God. And then you realize it's the redemption. The payment was paid by Jesus Christ. And then after that, that's when sanctification takes place. Then glorification when you die. Sanctification just means being set apart daily. In Romans 6:16-19, that's what we're memorizing. You just keep being setting yourself apart from the things of the world, from toxic thoughts in your mind, and you're replacing them with God's word. So you're renewing your mind. Now let me read something that John MacArthur wrote in his Bible. I think it's perfect. And this kind of sums up justification and these big theological words, imputation. So let me just read this. I think he did. I love John MacArthur Jr. I've been studying with him for years. I think since maybe 30-some years now. And I have like three different kinds of teachers that I use. I shouldn't say three different kinds, but three different teachers that I use. John MacArthur is one of them. I love Andrew Womack and Kay Arthur. And Dr. Leek, my newest teacher, that's a science teacher, and I've told you about her. You know, if you haven't looked at her blogs, go to drleek.com, and she's got some great things there. God has touched her heart. She's on the front line. I'm hoping that we'll be able to get in touch with her, and she could be one of our speakers at our women's conference. I'm just excited about what God is doing. Okay, here's what it says right here in Romans. This is coming from footnotes from Romans 3:24. Here's what John says in his commentary. The verb related word from the same root word, justification, occurs some 30 times in Romans and are concentrated in Romans 2:13-5:1. This legal or forensic term comes from the Greek word for righteous. See, so there's justification, righteous, means to be declared righteous. This verdict includes pardon from the guilt and penalty of sin. And we already talked about what sin is. You should know what sin is by now. Sin and the imputation of Christ's righteousness to the believer's account, and provides for a positive righteousness that man needs to be accepted by God. You know, and that's what I just love about this. It's just saying basically that we just need to know that we are righteous with God, you know. And so he goes on to say that it declares that we are right with God, and that God has taken our sinfulness and put it on Christ, and he's taken Christ's righteousness and put it into our account. It's just that simple. That's how it works. Isn't that beautiful? When you understand that, It's like when you understand what Christ has done for you, when you understand, it's such a sense of gratitude just comes to your heart. It just fills your heart up, because he has put his imputed love into the believer, and he's put our sins in Christ's account. Isn't that something? That's Isaiah 53:4-5 and 1 Peter 2:24. And he imputes Christ's perfect obedience to God's law to the Christians. And he goes on, the sinner receives the gift of God's grace by faith alone. Romans 3:23-25. Sanctification, the work of God, by which he makes a righteous person righteous as we continue to believe in God's word. The distinction from justification, oh my gosh, is that we follow what God has done in our lives. That's it. That's it. And then John goes on to say, justification is a gracious gift extended to the repentant believer, the sinner who wholly puts his trust in God. He says, redemption is an imagery behind this Greek word that comes from an ancient slave market. It means paying the necessary ransom to obtain a prisoner or a slave's release. Only adequate payment for redemption, for the redeeming sinner from slavery and sin, is deserved by this punishment, but Christ Jesus takes their place. Oh, wow. 1 Timothy 2:6. I got to go. You know what? We are taking back what the devil stole from us. I pray that when I'm teaching these, it's helping you to take back everything that the devil has stolen from you. No matter what, you have the power, if you're a born-again believer, to stand up, walk in your position, and become all what God has created you to be, and not take what Satan gives you and sin gives you. Don't believe the lies. Believe what the Lord has done for you, and take back everything that the devil has stolen from you. Hey, I hope this is helping you. If you missed any of these episodes, go back to thelovebyexample.com and go start with one and go all the way down to catch up with five, and take time to dig deep. According to Proverbs 25, dig deep into who you really are in Christ and experience his love. God bless you. Take it back.
The Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So many of our Christians today, if they will admit it, they will tell you that Satan has stolen one thing or the other from them. You may even know of someone that used to sing their favorite song. But for some reason or another, they don't sing it anymore. Well, I would suggest to you that Satan has come in and stolen away their song. You may know of someone that used to shout and dance all over the church. No longer do they shout and dance anymore. I would suggest to you that Satan has come in and stolen away their shout, their dance, and maybe even their joy. But I want somebody that's under the sound of my voice, somebody that has experienced the thievery of Satan, to know that I'm serving notice to the devil today, that we're on our way down to his camp, and we're not just taking back one or two things. We're not just taking back some of the things, but we're taking back everything that is stole from us. And I want Satan to know something. I'm taking back.
I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me.
I'm taking back.
I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me.
I'm taking back my song,
my dance,
my joy, and my peace. I'm taking back.
I'm taking back
everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back.
I'm taking back
everything.
I'm taking back
everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back my song,
my dance,
my joy, and my peace. I'm taking back.
I'm taking back
everything that the devil stole from me. One day old King David came home to his city called Ziklag.
Yes, sir.
While he was gone, the enemy came in, stole everything that he had.
Yes, he did.
David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Say,
say.